In a world comprised of nearly 7 billion people, we wonder sometime if one life can really make a difference. We wonder sometime if one life can really impact the world. Can one life really affect others in a positive way? We wonder in a world with nearly 7 billion people. Well, the life of Elton Pody reinforces that one life can bring good to many. One life can shape the course of a community, and one life can elevate others to a higher level. One life can make a difference. One life can make a difference when that life is lived with integrity, honesty, compassion, vision, and determination. One life can make a difference when that one life lives beyond himself or herself. One life can make a difference when that one life lives in a godly manner in both the public and the private places of life. Though Elton has passed from this life, his presence in this life will be felt for years to come. This morning we gather together with family, with friends, as a community, to celebrate the life of and support the family of Elton Pody. We think of his wife, Sherry. We pray for his 4 children, 11 grandchildren, and extended family. And to all of them, to Sherry and children and grandchildren, we want to say thank you. Thank you for sharing Elton with the Central Louisiana family for 2 decades, because all of us are the benefactors of your unselfishness. Our lives are richer, more full, because you graciously allowed his leadership to affect us, just as his leadership affected you and your home. I know the family thanks all of you for coming today. So many friends represented in this room. Look across here and you see elected city officials from our cities and across our state. And I know that this family takes great comfort in you being here. They will never, ever, ever forget your presence this morning. Our church is glad to be a part. We have been a member of this community since 1921, and we hurt with this community at the loss of a great man and a great leader. For all who hurt and grieve at this moment, I would encourage you to remember the promise of Psalms 34:18. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted, and he replenishes the spirits of those who are crushed. May we pray as we start this service of celebration, but also a service of worship, remembering a man who lived life well. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the wonderful, incredible gift we call life. We thank you for this day. The occasion that brings us in this room is a celebration. We know that when Elton breathed his last breath on this planet a few days ago, he did not leave home. He went home. Of all the wonderful things that have been said and that will be said this morning, there is none that we draw more comfort from than knowing that he was a child of God, a follower of Jesus Christ through a faith relationship. And when it comes to this moment for this family, there really is nothing else that matters any more than this reality in his life and in their lives. We know he was a man that loved you. We know that worship was a vital part of his life. And so we ask for the Holy Spirit to minister here, to meet each of us at our point of need, to bring what we need in this time of grief, so that we leave here giving thanks for the wonderful gift of Elton Pody and the way that he blessed our lives and affected our world in so many ways. This is our prayer. In the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, amen.
Praise the Lord, everyone. This might be a little unusual. We're here. Our family grew up singing, and I know Dad would want us to sing at his celebration homegoing service. So just want you to be ministered to by the words and by the songs. We're going to sing a couple of songs congregationally, though, and I want you to feel free to join in with us, because we probably going to need all the help we can get. Even the first song we're going to sing, and we'd like you to join with us, is called Great Is Thy Faithfulness.
Shepherd. Before I read the obituary, I wanted to read a passage of Scripture that I think gives a little understanding to what you're seeing. In 2 Samuel chapter 12, King David's son was at death's door, and he cried out to God to heal his little boy. He prayed and sought God's face, he fasted, and the child died. And his servants were very concerned, how are we going to tell him that the boy's dead? If he was as broken up as he was during these 7 days that he went to the mat with God, pleading with God for healing for his son, what is he going to do when this child is dead? How can we tell him the child is dead? Verse 18, he may do something desperate. So David notices them whispering, and he says, is the child dead? And they tell him that the child is dead, and the scripture says in verse 20, then David got up from the ground after he had washed, put on lotions, changed his clothes. He went into the house of the Lord and worshiped. Then he went to his own house, and at his request, the servant served him food, and he ate. His servants asked him, why are you acting this way? I just think of the Pody family. Why are you acting this way? Why are you singing? Why are you praising God? Miss Sharia, an incredibly gifted pianist, why are you playing at your husband's funeral? Why are you acting this way? While the child was alive, you fasted and wept, but now that the child is dead, you get up and eat? And he answered and said, while the child was still alive, I fasted and wept. I thought, who knows, the Lord may be gracious to me and let the child live, but now that he is dead, why should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I will go to him, but he will not return to me. I want to explain on behalf of the Pody family why they are celebrating. It's not they don't have grief. I can assure you they all have deep grief. But they have a compensating joy because they know that Sunday evening around 5 o'clock, Elton went to be with Jesus. And he is in a place that is incredibly blessed. His famous saying, be blessed. He is blessed. And we celebrate with joy, even in the midst of tears, his homegoing to be with the Lord. Elton was born in Farmerville, Louisiana on December the 1st, 1938. And he went to be with the Lord on March the 27th, 2011. 72 years, 3 months, and 26 days. His interment will be at 3:30 this afternoon at Mineral Springs Baptist Church Cemetery in Dubuque. His wife, Sherry Williamson Pody, of almost 50 years, together they are survived by their three sons, Stan Pody and his wife Mary, Sean Pody and his wife Kelly, Chad Pody and his wife Angie, and daughter Sandra Pody Haygood and husband Greg. By Elton's sister, Lola Faye Pody Silman, by 11 grandchildren, and he was preceded in death by his parents, Tom Henry and Fanny Mae Bearden Pody. May we pray. Lord, as we enter into the blessing of the memory of Elton, and above all, of the assurance that he is happy, that he who said so often, be blessed, is now blessed in a way that none of us in this room can fully comprehend. We pray for the joy of the Lord, which is our strength, to be in us and on us through your precious Holy Ghost. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Just to know the same. Have some folks come up and share some thoughts from his friends and his family.
Good morning. I'm Deborah Randolph. I'm currently serving as chair of the Chamber Board of Directors. And on behalf of the board, our deepest sympathy is offered to Sherry, to sons Stan and wife Mary, Sean and wife Kelly, Chad and wife Angie, and daughter Sandra and her husband Greg, and to all the grandchildren and other beloved family members. Today, I see so many here who are currently serving or who have served on the Chamber Board in the past. We were all privileged to work with Eldon Pody. A great leader brings more than deep knowledge and talent to a job. The leaders who work most effectively, it seems to me, never say I. And that's not because they have trained themselves not to say I. They don't think I. They think we. They think team. Leaders like Eldon Pody understand their job to be to make the team function. They accept responsibility to steer the ship, but we gets the credit. This is what creates trust, and that leads to success. Here's just one small example. Been part of the chamber delegation taking annual trips to Washington to advocate for the needs of Central Louisiana since starting to serve on the board. Each time, Eldon and his staff spent countless hours to develop a legislative agenda that truly reflected the needs of the entire area. I can still hear him bending over to whisper in my ear at meetings, you know, we've got to meet with everybody to get the needs that they want us to put in this legislative agenda so that we can go in with one voice as we walk through the halls of Congress. On a personal note, I've been impressed with Eldon since shortly after he accepted the chamber job. I remember Ned came home from City Hall after meeting with Eldon early on about the upcoming closure of England Air Force Base. And Ned said, we have hit a home run with this new chamber president. He is the real deal. Of course, those two went on to work together through the halls of Congress, the halls of the Pentagon, and even to the West Wing at the White House and did some great things. Today, I want to acknowledge Eldon's strength, his strong faith, and his positive attitude. During his remarkable battle with cancer, he never once complained. His smile was there to greet us, even on the days we knew he was in pain. And he never, ever lost passion for his job. James Michener said, "The master in the art of living makes little distinction between his work and his play, his labor and his leisure, his mind and his body, his information and his recreation, his love and his religion. He hardly knows which is which. He simply pursues his vision of excellence at whatever he does, leaving others to decide whether he is working or playing. To him, he's always doing both." This describes the remarkable life of Eldon Pody. He leaves behind a strong legacy to inspire us. We will honor him by continuing to work for the good of Central Louisiana. Our friend Eldon fought the good fight, and now he's home with his beloved Lord and Savior.
Morning. to Reverends Vincent and Brooks, to this Pody family, who I feel is part of my own. I'm very honored today to share a few words with you about Elton Pody, a very wise and great man who did a lot for our community. Elton was great at a lot of things, and as I've reflected on some of his strengths, one of the things that really stood out with me was his ability to work with others. I look out in the audience, I see former Mayor Ned Randolph. Former Mayor Ned Randolph, Elton Pody, worked with Governor Blanco, John Grafton, Harold Chambers, who put together the Union Tank Car deal. Folks, that was a $100 million deal. Not just anybody could work on a project like that and get it closed. Elton, and certainly the rest of his team, knew who to call when they needed help. And I see Mike Madison, who's here today, Brady Bodan. When we needed $1 million to purchase the land, Elton Pody knew to go to CLECO and make that deal happen, which is how that $100 million deal came together, just a collaboration of a lot of different people working together. There are some who didn't realize that economic development also meant helping local businesses, small businesses, large businesses here. But Elton Pody worked with Mayor Clarence Fields and the Pineville City Council. He worked with many other state and federal officials to help with the Procter & Gamble expansion, to help retain International Paper, which I personally thought was a miracle. It was a 30-year plant that I think they extended the life 10 years, but it just shows his ability to work with others to get things done. Elton also, Deborah, on my trip to D.C., and I went up twice. I had to go twice to see the miraculous work that he did. He knew who to call on the federal level when we needed to get the remaining funds to finish the last leg of the Highway 28 West expansion. We needed about $25 million, and so he went up and took us around on his normal tour, and we met with all of our congressional delegation, and he made sure I knew, Martin, we are not lobbying, we're educating them on what we need in our community. And it was not just for Alexandria, it was not just for Pineville, it was for Fort Polk, and it was for all of the surrounding communities. The packet of information that this staff and all of us sitting on this front row put together, along with a lot of you in this room, gave us the information that we needed to go up and put those kind of deals together. And on my last trip up to Washington with Elton, he took me back in a room with all of the chamber executives throughout the state of Louisiana. And Elton was the dean of chamber executives. They all respected him. And after everyone had spoken, they said, now we need to hear from Elton Pody. And Elton Pody came up, and it was as though E.F. Hutton was speaking. It was the Pody way. And we got a lot of things done on that trip. I want to stress his ability to work with others, because I think that was one of his strongest assets. After I became chairman in 2008, I received a call from my college roommate, Dexter Hadnott, who works for Adagium Technology, a subsidiary of Hewlett-Packard, so a very well-educated man. Dexter called me and he said, Martin, are you president of the Black Chamber of Commerce? And I said, no, Dexter. I'm president of the Central Louisiana Chamber of Commerce, chairperson of it, actually. And he said, well, in Houston, we have a Black Chamber of Commerce, we have a Hispanic Chamber of Commerce, and we have a lot of other chambers of commerce. And the reason that I want you to know that today is because we have one strong Chamber of Commerce, and I believe it's because of this great man and how wise he was working with not only small businesses, large businesses, men and women, and he didn't care if you were Black, white, Indian, or Jew. He was just interested in working with you to do great things for our area. With all of the connections that he had, I'm sure that he could have gone off and used those resources for personal gain, because he was very well connected, very in the know of how to get things done and who to get done. But he used all of that information and all of his knowledge for the benefit of Central Louisiana and this state. Elton actually was telling me and many others in this room almost 10 years ago that we were going to lose a congressional seat. And I was thinking, man, the census is not for another 5-6 years. Well, Elton was warning us of that many years ago, and many people in here, I see you shaking your head, he was telling us that many years ago to prepare us. So again, very wise. I want to close with a poem, Live Your Creed by Edgar Guest, which I think pretty much speaks to Elton's character. I would rather see a sermon than hear one any day. I would rather one would walk with me than just to show the way. The eye's a better pupil and more willing than the ear. Advice may be misleading, but your examples are always clear. And the very best of teachers are the one that live their creed. For to see good put into action is what everybody needs. I can soon learn to do it if you'll just let me see it done. I can watch your hand in motion, but your tongue too fast may run. And the lectures you deliver may be very fine and true, but I would rather get my lessons by observing what you do. For I may misunderstand you and the fine advice you give, but there's no misunderstanding how you act and how you live. Elton Pody lived a great life, and as he said, be blessed. I am very blessed, and many others in this room are blessed by the great work of this very wise man. Thank you.
Good morning. Forgive me from reading from my notes. If I'm to complete this difficult and yet honorable task, I must rely on these. To speak solely from my heart at this time would only shower you with sorrow, and there's much to be said. My name is Brady Bodan. I have known and worked with Elton since his arrival to Sinla 20 years ago. God sent him to us when we needed him most. He was a great friend, a mentor, and a man that I, along with many others, respected deeply. He always supported me, my family, and our company, and we will always be grateful to him. He was also a great lunch buddy. We shared a passion for economic development and a greater passion for developing that economy by frequently eating at many restaurants in our area. Once I attended a meeting with Elton in New Orleans, a few blocks from the Acme Oyster House. As the host called for a coffee break, Elton darts out of the meeting. I followed along with Sammy Bonnet, only to find ourselves eating oysters at 10 in the morning. I, too, on more than one occasion, heard Elton to say, everyone needs God and a job. We are grateful for his many good works at creating and retaining jobs in Central Louisiana. And I would add, however, that Elton's greatest works centered on his realization of the need for God in our lives. Elton brought with him and shared with each of us the daily peace of God. Those of you who met with him know what I'm talking about. When Elton came into a meeting, there was a sense of calm that would envelop the room. Harsh words ceased. A sense that anything could be accomplished took hold, and we all began to sing from the same hymnal, at least most of the time. Everything was going to be okay. I often wondered what was this magic that he possessed. Was it the fact that he always showed respect, no matter how diametrically apart his view was from yours? Was it that he never raised his voice, never swore, never, and always made you feel as though you were a valuable partner? Maybe it's that God worked through him, not only to change our community one project at a time, but more importantly, to change our community one person at a time. For those of you who remember the movie It's a Wonderful Life, that Christmas story about a man who was given the gift of seeing what life would be like in his community, Bedford Falls, had he not been born, Elton was Sinla's George Bailey. Elton's true measure as a man was not about the many projects he accomplished, but rather the many lives he touched. As a result, our community is a kinder place, a place where people care about one another, and oh yes, a place where many are gainfully employed thanks to him. The emptiness we feel today can be short-lived if only we take what he has taught us and apply it. If only a small portion to our lives, our work, in our community, and most importantly, the way we treat others. Miss Sherry told us last night that the angels came for Elton three times before he finally transitioned. I'm no angel, but I can appreciate their frustration as they struggled to get him to his next meeting on time. And of course he was late. Thank you, Miss Sherry. Thank you, Stan, Chad, Sean, Sandra, grandkids, for sharing with us your husband, your dad, and your G-dad. We'll miss him dearly.
You know, if you live long enough, you get to a point where you attend more funerals than weddings, and I've reached that point many years ago. On occasion, I'll be attending a funeral, and somebody like me would get up and try to say some nice things about the deceased, and they'd kind of overdo it, and you wonder, is that the same guy I know? I can tell you today, that's not going to be the case. There's nothing I can say that will honor him the way he deserves to be. But for those of you who know him, words are not necessary. A couple of days ago, a TV station came by the office and interviewed me. And they asked me, what was Elton's legacy? And I told them that I think he has two legacies. His professional legacy, which everybody knows about, England Air Park, four-year LSUA, Fort Polk, four-lane and Highway 28 West, and many others. And they asked me, why was Elton so successful? And this part didn't make it on TV. But there's a saying that says that a person starts dying when they stop dreaming. Elton never stopped dreaming. If I were to ask you today, do you think we ought to build a highway that circled Alexandria and Pineville? Some of you might think I was crazy, but it's the same. They would have thought the same guy who said that 30 years ago in Baton Rouge was crazy too. And look at Baton Rouge. Elton has the vision that in 20 years we'll need a beltway around our area. So the Central Louisiana Beltway Commission was formed, and Elton's peers elected him chairman of that commission. Elton also had a dream that all high school students should take an assessment to guide them in their career decisions. And just last week, the Rapides Foundation, the Rapides School System, and others announced that they were starting such a program, and it will now become a reality. Elton never quit dreaming, and for those of us who will continue the efforts to move this region forward, we must continue to dream, collaborate, and execute. But Elton leaves another far more important legacy, and that is his very life. We've all heard the expression, actions speak louder than words. While Elton was generally soft-spoken, his actions were thunderous, deafening, and ear-splitting. And I'm not talking about the actions that everybody knows about. I'm talking about the way he conducted himself when the TV and the newspaper reporters were nowhere to be found. I'm talking about the way he always saw the best side of every situation. With Elton, the glass was never half full. It was always full to the brim. I can't tell you in the last couple of days how many people have told me, I didn't know Elton was that sick. That's because Elton never quit dreaming. He wasn't sick. His body had some problems, but everything was going to be okay. Whenever you tried to lift Elton's spirits, he ended up making you feel better. And when you tried to minister to Miss Sherry, she ministered to you. I'm talking about the way you can never eat a meal with Elton without him first thanking God for all the blessings. I'm talking about the way that on many occasions his vice president for economic development would march into his office mad at someone or mad at something, and Elton in his own quiet way would douse the fire and I wouldn't even feel the water. I will miss Elton's counsel most of all. He would listen to me and then softly say, "Have you thought about, why don't you try to, or maybe you should?" And when he got finished, I would say to myself, "Why didn't I think of that?" Elton always made time to listen to our gripes, our lame brain ideas, our visions, our dreams. And he was always there to offer a word of guidance because he truly cared. I told the newspaper reporter that our office is one of the few where we could say we genuinely loved our boss and he genuinely loved us. I will miss Elton's counsel. While most people will remember Elton's professional legacy, a group of very lucky people will carry with them the personal legacy he left us. There is a poem, and I don't know who wrote it. I know it was a British poet, but I'd like to read it. You can shed tears that he is gone, or you can smile because he has lived. You can close your eyes and pray that he'll come back, or you can open your eyes and see all he's left. Your heart can be empty because you can't see him, or you can be full of the love you shared. You can turn your back on tomorrow and live yesterday, or you can be happy for tomorrow because of yesterday. You can remember him only that he is gone, or you can cherish his memory and let it live on. You can cry and close your mind, be empty and turn your back, or you can do what he'd want, smile, open your eyes, love, and go on. And Elton would say, go on. Brady, I got a movie I want to talk about too. My favorite movie. It's not Gone with the Wind. It's not Dr. Zhivago. It's E.T. For those of you who don't know who E.T. is, I won't explain in detail, but E.T. Was not of this earth, but through Hollywood scripts, found himself on the earth and befriended a boy named Elliot. And Elliot tried to teach E.T. about living here. And in the long run, E.T. taught Elliot far more. But during their time together, they bonded. They almost became one. They thought each other's thoughts. Elliot was deathly sick. And again, through Hollywood script, E.T. took it off of him and saved his life. And at the end of the movie, and I should say during all this time, E.T. was always wanting to go home. And at the end of the movie, E.T. was going home. And there's a scene where E.T. and Elliot are looking at each other, knowing it'd be the last time they'd see each other. And E.T., who didn't know a whole lot of English, took his finger and touched his heart and said, "Ouch." And Elliot said, "How am I going to live without you?" And E.T. took his finger and put on Elliot's head and said, "I'll be right here." Well, Elton has gone home now, and we all feel ouch. But those of us who loved him, and those of us whose many lives he's touched, his spirit will live forever. He'll always be right here. So, to my mentor, my role model, my dear friend, be blessed, because today you are.
Well, on behalf of the family, my brothers and sisters, my mom, and all the extended family, we just want to say thanks. And it has been such an honor this week the testimonies. The people have come by the house, one after another, and shared with us what Daddy meant to them personally and this community. And that has been such an honor, because none of his children actually live here in this community. We talk to him and communicate with him, but we didn't live here. And we didn't actually know a lot of the things that that go on. But it has been such an honor. But I'm going to take a minute and just share with you what he meant to us as his family. And he was just a mighty man, a mighty role model, a mighty man of God. And the morals and the ethical values that my father instilled into each one of his children is an impartation that is of epic proportion. His ability to be a witness and a role model to his family was second to none. And we just want to honor him and thank him, and we can't do that enough, for his unending love that he gave to my mother all these years, and to his children, and all his grandchildren. And what a witness it was, and a pleasure to watch that and learn from that. You know, Daddy, he taught us never to quit. He wouldn't let us quit anything. If you ever started something, you were going to finish it. You didn't have to do it next year, but if you ever started it, you were going to finish it. And he instilled that into all his children and each and every one of us. And he also taught us the most important thing of all, which is to seek first the kingdom of God. You know, as we grew up, music was a major part of our life. It was just something that he loved, gospel music, and my mother did. And as we were growing up, every night after supper, Mama would take us, line us up like little chicks, and run us in the music room. And we were just little old, little bitty things. Now me, you know, my two brothers and sisters, now, they went a little more willingly than I did. She kind of had to rope me in there. But she got me in there, and she taught each and every one of her children how to sing and play an instrument. And at the time, like I say, they liked it more than I did, but she did. And what Daddy did while we did all this is Daddy stayed behind in the kitchen. And he would be in there cleaning up, putting everything away, and doing the dishes, and just listening to us practice and sing. And, you know, out of that experience, my brother, Sean, wrote a song that says, "Daddy did the dishes." Some of y'all... But some of y'all may have heard it, but if you hadn't, you will hear it here in just a little bit. I promise. But Daddy loved his grandchildren. He was their G-dad. And his grandchildren sat down and they all wrote something about him. And I'm just going to I just pulled out a few things. Time doesn't permit, but I'm just going to pull off a few things from them. They said, "He taught me how to never, ever give up on what you believe in. He made me feel special. He made everyone feel special in their own way, whether it was drawing a ring on their finger with a felt tip pen or letting you help cook homemade biscuits in the kitchen. My children and grandchildren will always know the light of God that shined through this man every day." And this is just what he instilled into them. "My G-dad was unbelievable. Words cannot describe the impact he had on my life, along with so many others. He taught me respect, manners, how to have faith, and about Jesus. He was such a kind, faithful, loving man. He had a heart of gold and was so blessed. He had a way with people that every one of us wished we had. He never, ever met a stranger. Now, I know y'all know that. He never did meet a stranger, Daddy did. He was a great father, a great husband, and a great G-dad, and a child of God. He sure has set the standard high for any man I'm going to meet. He always wanted to watch his grandkids grow up, and now he's got the best of you. Amen. You know, he always enjoyed, once a year, all his children and grandchildren, we always got together, and that was always just a special time for him and something he looked forward to. The last week, it's been so precious. And all of his kids, the grandkids, all 21 of us, have been at the house for a week. And we've been singing and praying and speaking the word over him. And, you know, I don't think he would have had it any other way. And we were singing, we're going to sing in a minute, the song we were singing to him when he moved over into glory. We were singing to him. And it was just a very, very special moment. And we're blessed to be a part of it. But my dad, he was such a tireless, a faithful man, and we, as his family, know that we have been truly blessed to have him as a part of our life. Daddy, week before last, he was at MD Anderson right before we came home, and he and I were talking, and he, about 2 o'clock in the morning, but he sat up on the side of the bed. And he kind of leaned over, and he was hurting. He was in a lot of pain. But he told me something, and it just nailed me. But he said to Chad, he said, no matter what happens, he said, it doesn't matter what happens in this situation. He said, don't you ever, ever let this affect your relationship with God. And that's how he lived his life. He lived his life living for God, no matter what happened. And, you know, on behalf of him, his children, his grandchildren, he never wanted us to let anything waver our relationship. And the same for this community. And my dad was always looking forward. He was a visionary. He never looked backwards. And that's what we're going to do. And that's what he wants for this community. And just to pull a phrase out of his book, and all y'all know it, and he wants this for everybody in here in this whole community. And what he always said was, be blessed. Thank y'all. We love y'all.
To live while ages. so sad to see those who live in misery. But in heaven, no more grief or pain. Crippled lives are whole again.
Oh, what a
Father, we ask you in the name of Jesus that you would speak to us through Holy Scripture by your Holy Spirit for the sake of your holy child Jesus, that we might find comfort and encouragement and even faith, because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. For Jesus' sake, amen. I'd like to direct your attention to a few passages of Scripture briefly. We've heard of the testimony of our brother Elton in the community, what he meant for us, particularly in the wake of the closing of England Air Force Base and the devastation it brought to our community, a declining population over the next decade, and what he meant as a dad. Elton, a remarkable, remarkable father and husband. And I am sorry my wife heard that about washing the dishes. But we did kick in on Thanksgiving. As I think of Elton, I think of a man who truly was an extraordinary man in every way. And I think of that extraordinary nature, particularly in the last months of his life as he struggled with cancer that he had had for about 6 years. God healed him of that cancer, and then that cancer came back on him. And I saw his fight. I want to talk about that fight for a moment, and I have a passage of Scripture I would direct your attention to, and it's found in the book of Philippians, if we can put it there. I'm torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far. And then the rest of that verse where he says, in the next verse, rather, but it is more important for you that I remain in the body. I want to talk about that conflict that Elton experienced. In a very profound way, this past Wednesday, that conflict was brought home. I had a sense, as all of the family and friends were gathered in his bedroom, had a profound sense that he was in two worlds. Physically, you couldn't see anything there except that he was on oxygen. He was in his own bed, his wife, his children, children-in-law, grandchildren, his precious neighbors next to him there. But I had a deep sense that he was a man in two worlds. And I thought of this conflict in Philippians chapter 1. The Apostle Paul knew that when he died, he was going to go to heaven. Most people don't know that. And they don't know that, and because they don't know that, they have a deep and an abiding fear of death. And that fear of death paralyzes people. Elton Pody was a man without that paralysis. And he was without that paralysis because he knew the person in whom he had put his trust. And he was persuaded that he, Jesus, was able to keep that which Elton had committed unto him against that day. Elton, between two worlds, was drawn to stay with his family because he loved his family so very much. And he loved this community. And he saw the need to stay here and work and fight for this community, as you've heard. But he also looked forward to something better. And I believe that Elton had a glimpse of it, and more than a glimpse of it, a week ago today. That he saw the holy city, and he was drawn there. And seeing that place, he knew he would choose, as the Apostle Paul was tempted to choose, to depart and to go be with Jesus. And so this past Sunday afternoon, Elton did depart this world. He did leave this life. He did leave his body behind. He is not here. He is with the Lord Jesus, absent from the body, present with the Lord, where he says here, "I am torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ," which is better by far. As I've grown older over the years, I've become more and more persuaded that I do not want to live 1 minute beyond the time of usefulness. Why wait around this place when your work is done? Because there is a better world by far, as we will see in a moment. The difficulty is, however, that we wrestle in this life, and we're called to wrestle. I think of a passage of Scripture in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 14. Mark, chapter 14. And these are the words of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. "Abba, Father," he said, "everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will." I think particularly of this passage of Scripture, not so much applying to Elton in the last days of his life here on earth, but particularly for his family and friends. That's a bit of a struggle, and it encapsulates for me, these words of Jesus, the very essence of how we pray. I'll just break it apart for you for a moment. Abba, Father. The word Abba is an Aramaic word, and that's the language that Jesus spoke. It's a term not of formal address of a father, but more like our word dad. Abba, Father. I want you to see in that expression that Jesus used when addressing the Father that he was confident of the Father's love. I want to say this, that Elton and his wife and his children and the many prayer warriors who joined in praying for him were confident in the love of God. There was no lack of love on the part of God for Elton as we prayed for him. Secondly, Jesus says here, "Everything is possible for you." Elton profoundly believed that God could do anything. And I want you to understand that a great number of the people who prayed for Elton truly believed that God was going to heal him of cancer. They had seen God heal him of cancer before. And many of the people that prayed for Elton have seen miracles again and again and again, have seen people healed of cancer, healed of heart disease, healed of diabetes and other things, have seen financial miracles. And so there was no doubt as they prayed to God of the love of God or of the power of God. God can do anything. Nothing is impossible with you. The third thing that we see in this passage is, "Take this cup from me." Jesus really prayed. And I think about the people that gathered around Elton, especially in the last few years, again and again and again. They didn't pray that foolish prayer, "Lord, if it be thy will." You know that's foolish praying. The Bible never tells us, "Lord, if it be thy will, save my brother, save my son, save my daughter." We know what the will of God is because we have the will of God in the Word of God. When we pray according to this book, we are praying according to thy will. And so the people that were praying for Elton were confident of the will of God. They didn't pray, "Lord, if it be thy will." We know that healing is the will of God. It is the will of God. Now, God has some things he will do in our lives for his ultimate purpose, as we will see in a moment. But healing is the normal will of God. We should believe that. When we get sick, we ought to believe that it's God's will that He heals us. Listen, I want to tell you this because God changed my mind over the decades that I've been a preacher. I was licensed to preach in 1965, so I'm an old guy. But one of the things that God changed my mind about was believing that it is God's will that I be in health, that I have enough money, that I have enough strength, that my mind not quit on me, and that I walk in that truth until the day that the Lord calls me home. And that's a great truth to walk in. I want you to understand that the people that prayed for Elton prayed earnestly. They really prayed. But finally, sometimes things are not going to turn out the way that we think that God ought to cause them to turn out. And we end with that thing, yet not what I will, but what you will. And I want to say this about that. That is not a stoical resignation. Oh my, going around in grief and bitterness. It is when God speaks and makes clear and plain what His will for my life is, even if it seems bitter and disappointing for a moment to me, it leads to joy. It leads to happiness. It is a happy embrace of the will of God. Now, I want you to see this passage of Scripture with me again for a moment, because this prayer is a unique prayer in some ways. It's a model for how we ought to pray. It is a model that reflects how people prayed for Elton. But I want to focus in for just a moment on the specific nature of this prayer. I want you to see something here. This is the prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ to His Father. And He is pleading with the Father. He's praying, take this cup from me. I want you to think about that for a moment. Jesus was asking the Father to remove the cup. What cup is this? If you survey that word throughout the Old Testament and the New, you discover that that cup is summed up as being full of the wrath of a holy God due to human sin. When we see particularly egregious, horrible examples of wickedness in history, something within us cries out and says, that's not right. Something ought to happen. People often seem to escape judgment. That judgment is summed up in a cup. What I want you to understand is the cup that Jesus is talking about as He prays in the Garden of Gethsemane is the cup that's full of all your nastiness and my nastiness, your dirtiness, my dirtiness, your sinfulness, my sinfulness. All of the guilt, all of the consequences for all our sins, that cup represents that. And I want you to understand what Jesus is wrestling with in the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus is wrestling with the fact that even though He is the only one in human history who has never sinned, that He is about to become sin for you and me. Because the Lord Jesus Christ took the guilt and the consequences of all our sins on Himself. And at the moment that He hung on the cross and cried those words, my God, why have you forsaken me? At that moment, our sins, even the sins that you've committed and I've committed and haven't even committed yet, because this is 2,000 years ago, our sins were placed on Him. For God has made Him, that is Jesus Christ, to be sin for us, Him who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. I want you to understand that it was not an easy thing that Jesus did at Calvary. When Jesus mounted Mount Calvary and was nailed to that cross, it was an excruciatingly painful thing physically. It was an excruciating, painful thing psychologically. But spiritually, He was separated from a holy God as the sins of the world were laid on Him. He drank that cup so you and I don't have to drink from it. And I want us to see one last passage of Scripture. Because the Lord Jesus Christ did not shy away from drinking from that cup. This is the beautiful thing that awaited Elton and awaits you and me if we trust in Christ. Revelation chapter 22. And then the angel showed me the river of the water of life as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be any curse.
The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. There will be no more night. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever. I want you to understand something in closing, and it's this. Elton was a great man. Elton was a good man, but Elton was not good enough to go to heaven. And that's a truth that we have to say. How is it that Elton knew he was going to go to heaven? Elton knew he was going to go to heaven not based on his good works, not based on his performance, but based on the sacrifice of Jesus Christ alone. The Bible says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." It's so important as we come to remember a man like Elton, a truly great man. A man who, as I listen to these things, I'm struck, Elton was a better man than I am. But Elton's confidence was not looking at himself and saying, "Hey, God, look at what I've done for my family. Look at what I've done for my community." Elton's confidence was this: "Oh, God, don't look at me. Look at Jesus, your beloved Son, because there's no other way to heaven but the Lord Jesus Christ." And if we look to ourselves, if we trust in ourselves, we will go to hell. Hell. Did he say hell? Hell. We will go to hell. There is but one destiny for people who trust in themselves, and it's hell. I'm not good enough to go to heaven. Neither was Elton Pody, though he was an extraordinarily good man, as men go. But Elton's confidence was in the Lord Jesus Christ and in him alone. And because he put his trust in Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior, because he turned from his sins and embraced the Lord Jesus as he's offered in the gospel, Elton knew, as he was hanging between heaven and earth last Wednesday afternoon, and Elton knew Sunday afternoon when he finally left this world, that he was going to the arms of his dear Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. I commend Elton's Jesus to you, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Do you know Elton's Jesus? If Elton could speak one word to you now, it would be blessed. But he would tell you that that blessing is in Jesus Christ and in him alone. We're going to listen to a musical tribute in a moment before we're dismissed. But let me close in prayer and let me pronounce God's name on you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the extraordinary man that we had the privilege of knowing, Elton Pody. We thank you, Lord, that he knew he was going to heaven. And though he had so much on earth to pull him and keep him here, yet when his eyes looked over and he saw the promised land, when he saw the Lord Jesus high and lifted up on his throne, Lord, that desire to depart and be with Christ won out. Lord, it was a bitter cup for some of us to drink. The disappointment that our prayers were not answered the way we truly believed they would be, the way that we walked and confessed they would be. But Lord, finally this morning, as we come to the end of this service, we don't bitterly accept our fate. Lord, we accept with joy the affirmation of a sovereign and loving God who has ordained that all things work together for good to those who love you. Lord, we pray that you would bless each of us as we ponder the life and the death and the second life of Elton Pody, and that we would remember that it was not because of works which he did in righteousness, but by your mercy and grace in Jesus Christ, that Elton could say, "I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day." Lord, he has lost his faith and gained his sight because he is now in the presence of his dear Savior and so many loved ones. Comfort us and encourage us with these thoughts from Scripture for the sake of Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Amen.
for every night. Daddy'd just be home from work, and I'm sure he was tired. Now my daddy couldn't sing a lick, but we owed a lot to him. He'd say, Mama, I'll do the dishes, you go sing with the kids. So we'd file into the living room and all gather around. That old ball and piano making Southern gospel sound. Now Mama'd work for hours, make sure we had our part. We'd sing till we got it right, getting on our heart. Mama taught us kids to sing while Daddy did the dishes. Mama filled our heads with songs and made us who we are. She got the chance to teach us. Dad helped in the kitchen. Yeah, Mama taught us kids to sing while Daddy did the dishes. Our faith.